Psalm 23, let's go there and finish here tonight with the help of the Holy Spirit of God. Psalm 23, would you stand to your feet with me as I finish reading this passage of Scripture? Psalm 23. We preached the first three verses last night. Let's pick up verse number four. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let the church say amen. Amen. Our Father, add thy blessing to the reading of your word. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. Help me to be a blessing. Use the Bible as you have time and time again. Thank you, Lord, that we believe and are sure that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And in these last days, help us to keep on pressing on till we hear, well done. God, I want to see those faces, Lord, that my life has been able to impact. I want to finish well. I pray for those who are discouraged. I know that already since last night that burdens, more burdens have fallen on the hearts of God's people, and many are carrying unspoken requests. God, might you meet them, and if you don't take them away, give us the grace to press on. Watch over us now in these next few moments in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. We spoke last night from this most famous psalm, the Psalm of David. Many of us have committed this psalm to memory, quoted it time and time again, seen it printed on all kinds of surfaces. The Lord is my shepherd. Last night we were reminded that sheep are gullible. Sheep are defenseless. Sheep are in constant need of guidance and care. Sheep are unintelligent. Sheep are prone to wander. Sheep need to be guided and led and defended and sheltered, looked out for and watched. They need a shepherd. Aren't you glad we have a shepherd? Somebody say amen. Amen. David said, the Lord is my shepherd. Jehovah is my shepherd, the God of the universe, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Listen to me. Presidents and kings, they live and they die. Laws are last for a while and others pass, ones that will replace them. Seasons come and go. Paradigms shift back and forth. But I'm glad that if I've ever had a shepherd, I still have a shepherd. Amen. And he gives me complete satisfaction. I shall not want. He gives me a controlled supply. He maketh me to lie down. He leadeth me. Listen, by the side, the still waters. He gives me a contributed strength. He restoreth my soul. How many of you can pause tonight and thank God for the times he's restored your soul? He's brought you back from where you came from. Do you remember Psalm 51 when David, 9 months, had been away from the Lord? I tell people, when David sinned with the sin of Bathsheba, he looked, he got hooked, he booked, he took, and became a crook all in one day. And for 9 months, he hid his sin, and he did everything to cover his sin until the man of God faced him face to face and said, thou art the man. Psalm 51, repentance is the way to restoration. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Then will I teach transgressors thy way, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. I warn you tonight, you'll never get your joy back until you repent. Amen. And maybe you've moved away from God. Maybe sin has gotten you distant from your fellowship with God. He restoreth my soul through his timely correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Through his thorough cleansing, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. And through his tender compassion, aren't you glad he's long-suffering and he's loving to us? He is our shepherd, our contributed strength. And then last night, he's our shepherd, his capable supervision. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. When I follow the shepherd, I do the right thing. Have you ever gone wrong following Jesus? Have you ever messed up following Jesus? How about how many times we've led our own path? how many ditches we've ended up in, how many problems we've created for ourselves, how many mishaps that have occurred in our lives. Even in the ministry, I'm reminded how easy it is to lean to my own understanding and do it my own way. By the way, that's why sometimes we need trials and tribulations for God to remind us we need his leadership. We need his guidance. We need his direction. And ladies and gentlemen, if you can't see our desperate need for God now, I don't know what you're looking at. In these last days, if ever we needed the Lord, we sure do need him now. His righteous path, the paths of righteousness, and his rightful purpose for his name's sake. We established last night, when I do right, when I live pure, when I tell the truth, when I lead a godly marriage, when I raise my children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, when as a young person you stay pure, when you follow the Lord, when you do right in a sin-sick society, when as a single you wait for God's choice for your life, as a church member, you're faithful 52 weeks out of a year, you give to the Lord, even when financially you don't know where your resources are coming from, when you do right, listen to me, you do it for his name's sake. Somebody looks and says, how can somebody do right in this wicked world? How can that person have joy in the midst of sorrow? How can that marriage make it when over 50% of them fall to calamity? I'll tell you why. They've got a God. They've got a shepherd who will lead them in the paths of righteousness. I don't know about you. I want my life to make my shepherd look good. Now notice number five. Yea, though I walk. Now how many of us tonight would love if we could follow the shepherd but never have to go through the valley? God, why can't I just follow the shepherd? Why can't we always hang out in the green pastures? Why can't we always lie beside the still waters? Why can't we always enjoy the restoration of our soul? Why can't we always experience the leadership in the paths of righteousness? God, why do we have to walk through that valley? I tell people all the time, when I walked in the hospital staggering with 105 degree temperature, I was still convinced that I couldn't have COVID. I never get sick. I've never had a flu shot. I don't get the flu. Sickness runs through the house. I never get it. I've never canceled a meeting because of sickness. I've never spent a night in a hospital except when I was born. I mean, I just thought to myself, it can't be me. I don't have this. And I kept denying it. And when the doctor said, your lungs are worse than a couple hours than it normally takes for several days, and you've got pneumonia in both of your lungs. And I thought to myself, not me. What am I doing here? Have you ever gone through a valley and not only thought you didn't need to be in the valley, but immediately had at least 10 people in your mind who were better candidates for the valley? I thought to myself, all of these folks that don't live for God and all of these people out here that are doing their best to disgrace God, and these folks who are fighting against the people of God, surely they should be in the hospital. Surely they should have pneumonia. Lord, I just preached 3 days ago in the pulpit. God, I'm looking to get back and preach. I've got all these calendar events to go preach at, and I've got a family to lead, and I've got a congregation to lead. Surely, God, you don't have me in this valley. How many of you have learned that the Lord makes no mistakes? Somebody help me preach tonight. He said, yea, though I walk. You see, sometimes we want to avoid the valley, but Psalm 23 tells us we don't avoid the valley, but we don't navigate the valley alone. Notice he said, in my fretful plight, he said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. When death is staring you in the face and the doctors don't know, and when the fear of the unknown is gripping you, and when doubt and trepidation stand in front of you, and when the devil whispers panic in your ear, and when the flesh starts to buckle and your knees start to shake, and every thought and every anxious possibility saturates your mind. This is where David said I was. In my fretful plight, he says, I have a fearless persuasion. He said, I will fear no evil. And here's my fearless persuasion because of God's faithful presence. Hear me now, for thou art with me. I'd like to pause tonight to tell you, in your storm, the shepherd is with you. In your trial, the shepherd is with you. In your darkest hour, the shepherd is with you. When sickness is in your body, the shepherd is with you. When your prodigal goes astray, the shepherd is with you. When your marriage is in question, the shepherd is with you. When your church experiences unforeseen difficulties, the shepherd is with you. When calamity knocks on your door unexpected, the shepherd is with you. When the unknown stares you in the face, the shepherd is with you. When that child that you prayed for has now passed away, the shepherd is with you. When you're burying someone that you thought you would proceed in death, the shepherd is with you. When the call comes late at night that you didn't expect, the shepherd is with you. When something happens in your body that you didn't plan on, the shepherd is with you. Let me tell you something. When the storm is raging, when people abandon you, when your friends are few, when your money gets funny, and when all kinds of things happen in your life, I'm saying the shepherd is with you. Somebody's got to pause tonight to say, I'm not going to fear. Fearless Christians are not fearless because of their DNA. They're not fearless because of their church membership. They're not fearless because of what family they were born in. They're not fearless because of the chemistry in their personality. They're not fearless because of the parents they've been raised by. They're not fearless because of the neighborhood they live in. They're not fearless because they've taken some man-made remedy. They're fearless for one reason. In the valley, in the trial, in the calamity, in the difficulty, in the sickness, in the pain, in the trial, my friend, the shepherd is with you. Do you believe that tonight? Then let's give God the praise that the shepherd is with us. That calms me. I said that calms me. The doctor stood so far back and was gone so fast. The nurses said, we'll come in every 4 hours. You better know what you want, because we're not coming back for 4 hours. You can't have any visitors. I remember when they looked at my wife, said, you need to leave now. She dropped me off. And I thought, will I ever see her again? Nobody coming in. I don't have the data to prove that. I know there are doctors in the building tonight. But I'm convinced that a whole bunch of these COVID patients may have had some more hope if they could have had somebody in there with them. I'm telling you, I've never struggled with anxiety in my life. When you're lying in that hospital and you don't know what's going to happen, and you can't see your family, and you can't have anybody visit you, and the ones that come in, they look like they're in spacesuits. I remember just looking forward every morning about 7:45 when the lady that cleaned the room would come in the room, and for about 8 minutes, she'd crack the door open and leave it open. And it was just like a ray of refreshment would come into my soul, because for the only time all day long, I could look out the room and see into the hallway. And it was almost like it was a glimmer of hope. And I kept thinking, my mom kept saying, if I could just get to that hospital and be there with you, my wife, if she could just be in that room. By the way, thank God for technology. Thank God for FaceTime, that I could look at my wife and see a glimpse of God in her face. But I want to tell you something. When those doctors couldn't come in, and my wife couldn't come in, and my family couldn't come in, and the nurses were just there for a few moments, could I tell you somebody that got past the security guards? Could I tell you somebody that they couldn't block out of the hospital? Could I tell you somebody who need not be socially distanced? Somebody who came in the room and didn't have to wear a mask? Somebody who wasn't geared up in a spacesuit? Somebody who wasn't worried about catching what I had or giving me something I didn't need? Somebody help me preach. Somebody who doesn't need approval, somebody who didn't need the doctor's advice. I'm glad that in that lonely hospital room, somebody by the name of Jesus came in that room. You may not be able to enter a hospital room. You may not be able to accompany your loved one. You may not be able to heal sickness in the body, but I know a man who can. That's the comfort tonight. The calming solace. Notice next the comforting security. Look at verse 23. It interests me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I grew up, when I heard about a rod, I wasn't comforted. Every reference I heard to a rod as a kid was that verse that said, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. But the rod of correction will drive it far from him. I grew up with a black woman. I don't know if you knew that. And she didn't play no games. She's from Tallahassee, Florida. And all of that country came out in her on me. So when I think about a rod, I don't think about comfort. And yet David said in Psalm 23, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now I want you to picture that shepherd's rod. He would hold it at the top by that hook. And then at the bottom, like a stick, that rod would go down. I want you to think about the bottom of that rod and that staff. And he used that for what I call credible protection. And that was there for when that lion or that bear came to mess with the sheep. Now watch this now. When anything messed with the sheep, the shepherd could use that rod, that staff, to drive that enemy away. By the way, aren't you glad when the devil comes, we got a shepherd that knows how to drive him away? I'm convinced that when we get to heaven, one of the joys of getting to heaven is not only going to be knowing what God delivered us from by sin and all of the sorrows that sin brings to us, but I believe we're going to get joy in heaven when we find out all that God delivered us from that we didn't even know was attacking us. Now watch this now. Every single day we're walking out in that world and we're surrounded by principalities and powers and the rulers of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. Listen to me. I've gotten home some days and said to my wife, somebody almost hit me. I was almost in an accident. I'm so glad that I was safe. But I'm convinced there's so many accidents I was in I didn't even know about. There have been people that have been after me I wasn't even sure of. Let me tell you something. You better thank God he's got angels watching over you. You better thank God for every sickness you didn't have, for every trial you never went through, for every burden you never carried, for every problem you never experienced. Sometimes we spend all our time whining and complaining about all the problems we have. Listen to me. If we knew all the problems we almost had that the shepherd drove off from us, we come up every single day rejoicing in the goodness of God. I'm thankful that the devil can't have me back. I'm thankful that the flesh can't steal my salvation. I'm thankful that the world can't pluck me out of God's hands. You say, how do you know you can't lose your salvation? I'll tell you how you know you can't lose your salvation, because I ain't lost it yet. And if anybody could lose their salvation, I could lose mine. So if I'm still saved, guess, bless God, you're still saved. Amen. We are kept by power unto the day of redemption. I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. By the way, I can't lose my salvation because I didn't do anything to gain my salvation. He came unto his own, but his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. I used to be able to shout over top of that clapping, but I can't, so I'm sorry. That clapping was good. I talked too much. I should have waited for y'all to finish because it was feeling pretty good. Can y'all do that again? Just clap a little bit. I just said it. I'm still saved. Amen. I said I'm still saved. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. I'll tell you why I can't lose my salvation. Because for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Let me tell you something. I can't lose my salvation because I never merited my salvation. I'm telling you, there was no rose red enough. There was no lamb white enough. There was no man good enough. But God sent forth his son made of a woman made under the law to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. He didn't say I'm a way. He said I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. God's got a way that you can't go over. God's got a way that you can't go under. God's got a way that you can't go around. You must come in at the door. And Jesus says, I am the door. I am the way. I am the truth. It's not through Muhammad. It's not through Buddha. It's not through church membership. It's not through the right hand of fellowship. It's not through the baptismal pool. It's only through the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And every time the devil wants me back, and every time the world wants to destroy me, I've got a shepherd who knows how to take that staff and say, get off my sheep. Don't mess with my sheep. Listen to me. When you get discouraged about the trials you're up under and the burdens that are weighing you down and the situations you can't shake, you remind yourself you belong to the shepherd. Some groups you can't get in, some places you can't shop, some cars you can never drive, some neighborhoods you can never move in, some gated communities you can never visit. But look here, look here. We are members of the most elite group in all of the world. We are a part of the family of God, and we got a shepherd that doesn't let nobody mess with his sheep. Amen. There's a credible protection, but there's another reason that that shepherd has that rod and staff. Not only credible protection, but at the top of that is that hook. And that's for a connecting pull. Somebody help me preach. I tell my people at church, say amen because you know where I'm headed. Beat me there. And if you don't know where I'm headed, just trust me. No, don't do that. See, every once in a while, the sheep get away from the shepherd. And he's got to take the top of that staff and use it to bring that sheep back. Come on now, don't look so dignified now. Take your halo off for a minute and show me them horns up underneath there. How many times we wandered off from the shepherd? How many times we drift away from the shepherd? How many times we get away from this book? We get away from in prayer. We get so caught up in the affairs of life. We get distant from the shepherd. Aren't you glad that when nobody can find us, that the shepherd can take that hook and say, get back over here. Get back in your Bible. Get back on your knees. Get back to the house of God. Get back right with the brethren. Get back to the stuff that had you close to me before. Young person, if you drifted off from the shepherd, don't get mad when he comes looking for you. The shepherd knows how to hook you around the neck. Come on now and tell you, get back over here. And don't get mad at just, why are you looking for me? You better be glad. Hey, let me tell you something. I tell people all the time, the world is against us, and a lot of people are against us, and the devil is against us, but the biggest enemy I fight every day is me. I can do bad all by myself. I need God to keep me from me. You ever read Romans chapter 7? Paul said, the things I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, I do. The things I don't even approve of, I keep doing. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this flesh? But in Romans chapter 8, by the way, you read Romans chapter 7, and it is so dismal. It is so depressing. You read Romans chapter, you read Paul writing Romans chapter 7, and you go, if this is how he's talking, there ain't no hope for me. But I want to clue you in as you study Romans chapter 7. I'll tell you why it's so dismal. The mention of Paul, the mention of the flesh is in Romans chapter 7, but there is never one mention of the Holy Spirit in Romans chapter 7. You get to Romans chapter 8, the Spirit shows up. Listen to what the Bible says. There is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but walk after the Spirit. What is Romans chapter? Let me tell you something. When the Spirit's not involved, I do what I don't want to do. I don't do what I want to do. I do the things I don't approve of. I'm a wretched man and I have no hope. But when the Spirit gets involved, Romans chapter 8, if we have not the Spirit, we're none of His. Romans chapter 8, we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Romans chapter 8, if God be for us, who can be against us? Romans chapter 8, it is God that justifieth. It is God that sanctifieth. It is God that glorifieth. Oh, it doesn't end there. Romans chapter 8, who shall separate you from the love of God? Shall tribulation, shall distress, shall sickness, shall pain, nay, in all these things, who can separate us? Nor sickness, nor pain, nor fear, nor darkness, height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. No, we can't do it without the Spirit, but with the Spirit, all things are possible. And I'm so glad that the shepherd loves me so much, he doesn't leave me up to me. He brings me back to himself. Some of you are under the tabernacle tonight at Jubilee for one reason. The shepherd knows you're headed in the wrong direction, and he has pulled his staff off in the most loving way to tell you to get up off your blessed assurance and get back to him. Amen. Amen. They comfort me. Notice the convenient spread. I'm winding down. The convenient spread. Thou preparest a table before me. Sovereign preparation. Sovereign preparation. This is convenient spirit. Sovereign preparation. Have you ever eaten a meal that God prepared? Have you ever eaten a meal that God prepared? Aren't you glad that one day we're going to eat a meal and never have to count calories? Never have to worry about earthquakes, heartburn, acid reflux, lactose intolerance, weight gain. Come on now. Oh, I heard a real loud amen right there. I tell you what, we got some apple cake up the house. I'm of a mind to walk off the platform right now and leave you here and eat a piece. Apple pie up there with ice cream. Amen. Glory to God. But look what David said. He said, I'm going to tell you about my shepherd. He prepares a table for me. Can't nobody cook like the shepherd can. He said, there's a sovereign preparation. There's a splendid provision. He says, thou preparest a table before me. Listen to me now. He not only prepares it, but it's a spread. There's a sovereign preparation. There's a splendid provision. But here's my favorite part. There's some seeing people. Seeing people. Notice he said, in the presence of mine enemies. Now, in just a moment, raise your hand if you agree with this. Sometimes it feels like the longer we serve God, the more we're surrounded by enemies. It ain't going to get better. Now, I'm just going to shoot straight. I've never been accused of beating around the bush. Sometimes people get on my nerve. I mean, sometimes the more you try to do right, the more they try to hurt you. And sometimes they're the people you've done the most for. Do I have a witness in the tabernacle? And here they are. And by the way, they rejoice when you struggle. They clap when you go through trials. They rejoice when you go through adversity. They point their finger at you. They come and tell you everything that's wrong. Job's three greatest friends showed up and said, Brother Job, you're sick because you're out of the will of God. His lovely wife said, curse God and die. You still serve God. And Job said as kindly as he could, thou speak the words of a foolish woman. And then he probably went like this. Oh, boy. Hey, listen to me. The longer you serve God, the more people are going to surround you. Do you really think in 2021 you're going to live the Christian life and get applauded by the world? So here they are with a fork in their hand and a knife in their hand, ready to destroy you. But look what David said. Instead of fussing about all the people that are gathered around me, wishing evil on me, he said, there's another end of looking at it. I can rejoice that while they're surrounding me to destroy me, instead, they get to watch God feed me. Look at the verse. Thou preparest a table for me in the presence of my... Now, somebody's going through a trial, and people all around you are watching you struggle, and you're going, God, I wish they'd leave. I wish they'd go away. I'd wish they'd get off my back. I'd wake up, and they'd all vanish away. And God said, wait a minute. I'm trying to bless you. I'm trying to take care of you. I'm trying to... Listen. Don't get them leave. Don't get them to leave. Don't pray that they go away. Let them watch you in the midst of attacking you. Let them watch you eat apple pie, ice cream, apple cake, a pot roast, Ritz cracker chicken, all that stuff that you eat at Brenda Allred's. Yeah, let them watch you. Listen to me. In these last days, the enemies of God need to watch how good God is to us. I wish I could tell you, Faith Baptist Tabernacle, that closer we get to the return of Jesus Christ, it's always going to be easy. This church is going to be under attack because it's busy about souls, because it's growing, because sinners are coming to this church, because people around these mountains are finding out and learning about what God has been doing in this church all these years, and that this church is standing on the truth of the word. Listen to me, Christian. You want to live for God? Listen to me, marriage. You want to live for God? Listen to me, young person. You want to get in youth group and be a soul winner and read your Bible and follow your youth pastor and obey your parents. Let me tell you something. The enemies are going to watch, but let them watch the shepherd feed you, take care of you, and provide for you. And I'm glad tonight that even in the presence of my enemies, he knows how to spread it out for me. the covering sufficiency, thou anointest my head with oil. That's a picture of the Holy Spirit of God. The Spirit's filling, the supplied fullness, my cup runneth over. Listen, you hang around the shepherd long enough, you'll enjoy the overflow. Now, listen, some days it's so good, it just comes out of the bowl and into the saucer. Do I have any country folk in the building tonight? And you know what happens when it comes, Dr. Jonathan, can I get a witness tonight? When it comes out the bowl and into the saucer, you know what you do with the saucer, right? You pick up the saucer and you sop it on down. Amen. Listen to me. You hang around the shepherd long enough, it's going to flow out of the bowl and into the saucer. I know that the devil is busy, but let's just pause tonight and say, as busy as the devil is, God's better than he is. He's still blessing. And every once in a while, like this morning, when I'm walking from the pastor's house, as he and I were up here to the point, and we got up here and looked over the edge. Well, he got close to the edge and I did. I'm a little afraid of heights. As soon as I got back, my wife said, isn't that a drop off up there? I said, honey, I didn't get too close. But I looked out there and I thought, how can anybody not believe in God? Who in the world, how in the world could this stuff just evolve? Somebody said the tadpole came out the water and turned into a monkey, and the monkey turned into a man. I said, well, where did the tadpole come from? And where did the water that the tadpole came out of come from? Come on now. Well, I believe in the Big Bang Theory. I believe in it too. God said it and bang, it happened. Amen. And if we're not careful, we'll spend so much time commentating on what the devil is doing instead of rejoicing in the goodness of God. I want to tell you, every single one of us has a cup that's running over. Every one of us. Every single one of us. And then lastly, the concluding surety. Look at verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy. Everybody say surely. You know what that means? For sure. You know what it means? No doubt about it. David said, I've got favorable conviction and I've got fervent commitment. Now listen to the favorable conviction. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me. Now listen to the word follow, and I'm about to quit. Radaf it is. It literally means to be chased, hunted, or pursued. You reckon David knew what it was to be pursued? He had a throne that God had given him he couldn't even sit on. He had a palace that God had given him he couldn't even live in because his predecessor was so jealous of him, he was chasing him around town. David knew what it was to be pursued by Saul. He knew what it was to be pursued by the Philistines. He knew what it was to even be pursued by his own son who had turned the kingdom against him. He said, everywhere I turned, something was chasing him down. But look at Psalm 23. He says, here's what I'm sure about. When I have the Lord as my shepherd, instead of being chased by Saul, Absalom, the Philistines, or other enemies, he says, guess what's chasing after me? Goodness and mercy. And I want to tell you the good thing about goodness and mercy. They run off of a GPS system given by Almighty God. You go somewhere, your phone doesn't work. You go some places, the internet doesn't work. You go some places, the power doesn't work. You go some places, the cable doesn't work. It always seems to cut off during the biggest play of the ball game. But aren't you glad that even when you wear phone services out and internet's out and power's out and cable's out and you think nobody's going to... I've preached in some towns where I thought, not only do I not know where I am, not only are there no street lights, but there aren't any black people here either. And I've thought to myself, I'm going to die. They'll never find me. It won't make the news. And I'll be the subject of unsolved mysteries for the rest of my life. I've driven places and I thought, I don't know how I got here and I sure don't know how I'm going to leave. But isn't it amazing that even when I don't know where I am, I can look in the rearview mirror and them two twins are running me down everywhere I go. Goodness and mercy. Goodness and mercy. Shall follow me. And because of that, his fervent commitment. I will dwell in the house of the Lord. Here's what he's saying. Because I'm convinced God's going to always be good. God's going to always be merciful. Then guess what he said? I'm going to keep serving him. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Jehovah Jireh, my provider. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Jehovah Shalom, my peace. He restoreth my soul. Jehovah Rapha, my healer. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. Jehovah Tsidkenu, God, who is my righteousness. I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord who is present. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord who is my banner. My cup runneth over. Jehovah Makadosh, the Lord who is my sanctifier. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to be reminded tonight that we're gullible, defenseless, and in constant need of care. But on the authority of the word of God, we not only need, we have a shepherd, and the Lord is my shepherd. Amen. I want you to be encouraged tonight, because we're going to leave Jubilee, and the devil is waiting for us when we finish. Since last night, already to today, attacks going on. Spiritual warfare. And it's going to be like that till the trumpet sound. Here's what I want every believer to take comfort in tonight. And maybe even consider on this last night of Jubilee of getting your family and gathering on this old-fashioned altar. We need to get back to trusting the shepherd. And when you say it tonight, don't just say the Lord is a shepherd. Say it with conviction together. The Lord is my shepherd.